Our scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So thank you all for being vulnerable and sharing some of your embarrassing looks with one another. I'm going to share a few of mine that I'm not so proud of. Sam, if I could get that first one here. All right. The sports look here. Tennis racket and an and one shirt. I promise you there's very little athleticism on the court there. Sam, let's get the next one here. All right. Not really sure what I was thinking here. This is one of my dad's sweaters and a cabbie hat. Got my buddy in middle school on my shoulders. If you look far right, you can see my older brother in overalls, so not great for him either. All right, Sam, next one. Senior graduation photo, pure gold. Wish I had another button up top. All right, next one. Jazz guitar, here we go. Now we're getting there. Trying to look sophisticated in college, messing around there before, but we always wore ties. You can see the sheen from the Walmart dress shirt up top. Sam, let's get the next one. Stand-up comedy look. This is a lot of black t-shirts, a lot of backwards hats. The look was funnier than the set, I promise you that. Let's get the next one here, Sam. All right, first job out of college, little coffee spill. I actually am literally in a Walmart doing some shopping for the church I was working for. Trying to look a little more sophisticated with the Nantucket red pants and a polo shirt. This is the same shirt, actually, from the senior graduation photo. I had one. Let's see the next one, Sam. Okay, this is my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, Brittany, and I, first year of divinity school. Showed her this photo last night, got her permission to share this, and we were joking that it looked like I was dating myself. next one here. All right, this is tough. This is me and my cousin in Manhattan. I had a period where I was slicking my hair back, not great, and wearing cardigans, a lot of cardigan sweaters. Even when it was like 90 degrees. Next one, Sam. All right, this is kind of an ironic phase. Was wearing a lot of sweaters of self-referential things. This is a sweater with a bear in a sweater. So, yeah, you're not very funny, you know, but I was going for it. Next one here, Sam. All right, this was like the full-on folk phase. There was a lot of flannels with the shacket over the flannel. And if you can see there, I'm just pouring, sweating, just sealing in all the juices there. All right, Sam, next one. All right, this is tough. this is our engagement photo shoot. Not really sure what we were thinking. The pea coat with the hoodie underneath. Brittany's got the knitted beanie, which I think she knitted herself, actually. This is at the farmer's market in Durham. And again, you know, not really sure what we were thinking. It's rough to look at. All right, Sam, next one. All right, little more familiar here for y'all. The pastor look. Y'all know I hate wearing sports coats, but I'll throw one on for Easter and Christmas here, for when God means business. All right, maybe the best look is the family look here, you know, and I'm trying to stick with that. Let's get those off the screen, please, for the love of God. Thank you all for humoring me there, but a lot of wardrobes over the years, a lot of different looks, right? Our community that Paul is writing to this morning has a lot of wardrobe choices in terms of who they're worshiping, in terms of their diet of faith. They've got a lot of different options that they're trying on, and Jesus is part, you know, one of the options, but he's not central in what's going on with the Colossians. So a little bit of backstory here. The church in Colossae is not actually started by Paul. Epaphras, one of his co-workers, is who started it. They were kind of like colleagues a little bit. And Epaphras actually reaches out to Paul and asks if he will write his church in Colossians. He explains what's going on there, some of the issues that are happening, the external pressures that they're facing. And Paul agrees. So at this point, Paul has been in ministry for 25 years. He's actually in prison while he writes this letter, but he agrees to write them because his voice carried weight. If you, as a church, got a letter from Paul, even if he didn't start it, even if he hadn't visited it, it meant something. His voice carried a lot of weight. And so he writes to them in this letter and tries to address some of these things that they're dealing with. So they're facing this external pressure to worship many different things, many different gods. There was kind of a mystical polytheism that was happening. Some of the big Greek god names that many of us know that they're dealing with: Hermes, right? They're the temptation to worship money and commerce. Also, Aphrodite, sex, the god of sex, right? That's a big thing in this town. A lot of people worshiping Aphrodite. Apollo, a lot of us know Apollo is the god of sun. He's also the god of music. He's holding a lyre in a lot of his, depictions of him. He's the party god, right? And so there's these Greek gods, and there's also these heavenly powers, a different religion, these heavenly powers that are associated with the stars. It's like an astrological religion. This one gets really confused with Christianity when you start talking about angels and the heavenly messengers, right, and the god of the stars. But it's like a literal worshiping of the stars in the sky. And of course, there's also Jewish Christians in this area. The Colossian church was predominantly Gentile because a lot of the Jews around them are saying, you have to live in the way that Jesus lived as a Jew. You have to be kosher in your diet. You have to observe the Sabbath. You have to be circumcised. So Paul is writing to this church that is mixing a lot of these different religions buffet style. And Jesus is an option on the buffet, but he's not really central in their diets. And I think that we understand that in 2025, maybe more than we give ourselves credit for, right? We're still trying on a lot of different looks, a lot of different wardrobes. We know about Hermes and Aphrodite and Apollo. You know, a lot of us focus on the money, on the consumerism outfit, right? We want to make as much money as we can. That is the goal of our lives. We want to build that resume as much as we can, right? We want to have that financial security. And for others, it is sex, right? The craving of the tangible experiences in life, right? We want to live life to its fullest, and we want to, you know, suck the marrow out of life. For others, it's music, the party. The goal in life is having a good time, right? We don't want the party to end. And we wear and try all of these different outfits on, and we worship, you know, many different things, not only just as human beings, but as Americans, right? Work and productivity, that's a big god for us in America. We have that grind culture, right? Get out there and hustle. Right. One of my favorite songwriters is Tyler Childers. Any Tyler Childers fans in the room? All right, there's four of us. Great. He has a song where he says, "Keep your nose on the grindstone and out of the pills." And I love that song, but in country music and in folk music, there's a lot of that, right? Just keep working. Just keep grinding. Keep breaking your back, which I think vibes with a lot of us as Americans because we live in a meritocracy. Right? Our talents, our abilities, our work ethic matters. For others, it's the god of image and appearance, right? We want that picture-perfect family, right? Where everyone is thriving, where everyone is living their best life. The house that is always ready to host. The kids that have a full freight of extracurricular activities, right? The marriage is good, and we want people to see that we're still in love, right? We have the picture-perfect life. And for some of us, the religion is politics, right? We believe America is number one, and our patriotism can overshadow everything else that we believe. And for others, also political, we want to be on the right side of history, right? Sure, we want to help people, but mainly for us, when we look back at the photos, we want to be on the right side of history, not the wrong side, right? Which is kind of just our ego, right? Driving us in those moments. And you get enough of these wardrobe options together, and Jesus kind of gets pushed to the side. Right? We worship our jobs and our relationships, our country, and Jesus is important. He's on the buffet, but he's not the main deal. I was meeting with a young adult a couple months ago and had a great conversation, and she was new to the church and wanted to learn more, and she said something at the end of our conversation that was indicative of what I think a lot of us feel coming to church, and she said, no offense, but church is really just church and Jesus is really just an extracurricular for me, right? And as the buffet of what we can and should worship grows, Jesus becomes less of our wardrobe and more of an accessory. I'm going to wear the shirt of family life first, and I'm going to wear the pants of productivity. That's what's going to drive me. And Jesus can be the wristwatch. Jesus can be the add-on, to really make the outfit pop. But Paul says, dress in the wardrobe that God laid out for you, as in Jesus. For the Colossians and for us, Paul wants us to set our minds on things above. Paul wants us to strip off our old wardrobe so that we can wear new life in Christ, that resurrection life, that Easter life. And he puts it this way in the message. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God laid out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Those five virtues that Joshua just read for us. And it's not just five virtues, but it's five virtues that have to do with relationship. I think is interesting. Paul is not interested in the individualistic virtues. Productivity, efficiency, work ethic. Paul is interested in the virtues of Christ, which push us towards one another and towards the other. The first is compassion. It seems simple to us. It seems like, yeah, you know, duh, compassion. But back then, in the ancient world, suffering animals didn't survive. People did not care about the physically handicapped and the weak. They were cast off to the side. There was no provision for the elderly. There was no treatment for anyone suffering mental illness. But Christ brings into the world mercy. This was really a revelatory concept. And William Barclay writes from a historical perspective of this ancient world. He says, everything that has been done for the elderly and the sick, the weak in body and mind, animals, has been done through the inspiration of Christianity. And when we wear the compassion of Christ, we care about others. The second virtue is kindness. The ancient writers defined kindness as the virtue of those who believed their neighbor's good was as important as their own. And it's the same word for kindness. The Greek word is used in the ancient world to describe wine that has lost its bitterness and with age has begun to mellow, which I think is really interesting. The wine has lost its harshness. And we all know people who are a little harsh, right? That glass of wine that's gone a little bitter, a little bit sour. to live into the new this new life of Christ is to wear kindness. Essentially, Paul is saying what the kids say today of don't be a Karen, right? The third thing is humility. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity writes that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Humility is knowing where we stand as God's created beings in the light of God as the creator. We have no option but to be humbled in the presence of God. And humility is also believing and seeing that we are all children of the same God, that we are all grafted into the royal lineage of Christ, that we are all made in God's image. So we treat one another knowing that they bear the image of God too. The image of God in me sees the image of God in you. We have to stay humble. The fourth virtue is meekness. I really struggle with this one because I've never been described as meek. I'm just too strong. Okay. Jokes aside, it's a joke. I am not a meek person. I really like how Eugene Peterson interprets this in The Message. He calls it quiet strength. We all know that person who has that quiet strength, right? And I really like that phrase. I joked the Karens a minute ago, don't be a Chad, is what Paul is saying, right? Don't be a Chad. True strength isn't loud or forceful or in your face. It's quiet and it's calm. And Jesus had this quiet inner strength. His power was found in moving away from it and toward the weak. And the fifth virtue is patience. It's also tough for me because those of you that know me well, like when I want something, I want it yesterday. It's really hard for me. Even with two-day shipping, I struggle. I'm like, 2 days? This is ridiculous. Where's this coming from, right? Like, and when it's like, it can be there in 5 hours, I'm like, yeah, I could have done it in four. Could have had it in four. Would have been nice. I'm like the most impatient person, but I've been thinking a lot about patience. It's interesting that Paul names this as one of the virtues. Sandra McCracken sings a song that I really love called Patient Kingdom, and she asks, when's the last time that you felt steady in the chaos or heard the sound when a seed falls to earth? Is it time to give up your destination? Slow me down. Let love do its work. Let my soul rise up to meet you, she sings. As the day rises to the sun, let my soul rise up to meet you. Let that patient kingdom come. Patience is trusting that God's timing is better than our own. There's a humility embedded in patience. And we're called to be patient with others because God is ever patient with us. Right? How constant is the patience of God looking at us as his children? So we're to clothe ourselves, Paul says, with this wardrobe that God picked out for us. Not the wardrobe we pick out for ourselves, right? But with the wardrobe God picked out for us, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. And above all, Paul says, above all, clothe yourselves with love. Regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. We are to wear love because Jesus is the embodiment of love. And to be a Christian is to be a little Christ. That's all that word means, a little Christ. And I look back of these old photos of myself, and I cringe because I feel like an idiot looking back at them. Like, what was I thinking? Why was I wearing that? Why am I so sweaty in all these photos? But I have to take it easy on myself, right? I have to love that kid in those photos because he's doing his best. Because God loves that kid. And God loves all of you. And all those old photos, right? All those old styles that you tried. God was loving you through those things. Right? We love because God first loved us. And what does it mean for us to wear love? What old and tired wardrobes do we need to clean out of our closets? Wardrobes that we're still trying to make fit. And we're like, dude, it's done, right? That trend has passed. It's time to wear love. What clothing do we need to throw out, right? To make room for the wardrobe of love, the wardrobe that God picked out for us. God calls us all beloved. Let's dress like it. Let's live like it. Amen. Amen.